Good morning. So good to have you here on this day that the Lord has made. And we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. We're glad that those who are visiting from Zoom or watching from home or wherever, we're glad you are a part of this. Couple of announcements. If you haven't already, I would encourage you to go ahead and buy your tickets for the LCCM virtual breakfast. I went ahead and did it this week online. The tickets are $15, but you can obviously give more than that. It's virtual because of all the pandemic stuff going on, and it's just the whole thing of not being able to gather. So we do want to continue to support LCCM. They help us out tremendously for those who are needing assistance here. It gives us a place to send people, and it takes a lot of pressure off of me. So we need to continue to support LCCM. So please do that. I think it's through the month of March. Yeah, so through the month of March, so please do that. The other thing that you might have noticed, we're now in the laundry business. We've started hanging up our laundry as you come in. It's a fun idea that we liked. Now, all the socks and underwear are clean, right? Yes. Okay, thank you. So the Caring Cupboard is in need of underwear and socks. I mean, and it's not just children, it's men and women. But there's a huge need, especially, you know, of everything in a shelter that someone would need, underwear and socks. Something that we take for granted, but there is a need there. And so we're going to be doing that for the Lenten season as well. And you may think, wow, there's just so much going on. No, the opportunities that we have. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunities that we have to serve two incredible organizations. So please be a part of that. And also, we have flowers, daffodils and tulips. Yes, $7 a piece. And you need to do it today.
And if you don't, if you aren't here, if you want to call me, the ones that are on Zoom, if they want one, if they want to call me today.
Okay. So if those are on Zoom and you're not here, if you want to order flowers, call Sharon Starr. If you do not have her number, text me or call me, and I will give that to you. I will not be taking the orders. Because I'll just mess it up. But you have to do it today. You have to do it today. That is the important thing. So $7, there are envelopes back there in the back for that. So a lot of things to be doing. In fact, Kathy and I bought 10 today. So we're going to make sure that we have flowers in here. So daffodils and tulips. Okay. Any other announcements that you might have today? Amy, any announcements from Zoom or anything? Okay, let's go to our call to worship. And I'm using Psalm 100 today, and I'm just going to do the first two verses. So here's our call to worship. Would you please stand as I read this? Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Let us sing with joy now.
It's a song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from a thousand steeples, none rings truer than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. Dreaming what they just heard, 'cause all the powers of darkness can't drown out a single word. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah, he reigns, he reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory,
and There's nowhere I'd rather be when you're singing over me. I just wanna be here with you. I'm lost in your mystery.
You may be seated. In this time that we have during our worship to lift up our prayer concerns and praises, and are there prayer concerns and praises that you have today? Okay. Sharon?
First, I'd like to thank everyone that sent my father birthday cards. And on Thursday, my sister will be operated on, and I'm asking prayer for her. Her name is Diane.
Okay. Your dad turned 100, so thank you to everyone who sent cards, and also for Diane, who is having surgery this week. Okay, others? Oh.
So we have a big praise. Aaron turned 11 this week.
Okay. Yeah. Aaron, happy birthday. Did you give me a piece of cake? There's none left?
No.
Okay, Aaron. You and me, bud. Okay. I couldn't eat it anyway because it's the Lenten season, and I've given up sugar. And again, let me just thank Donna and Joanne for reminding me this week that Joanne was going to bring me cookies, but she knew that I was giving up sugar, so thank you for not bringing me sugar cookies. And Donna, thank you for not bringing me pumpkin bread. So thank you so much to tell me that what you're not bringing me. Yes, you do. But come April 5th, I'm expecting cookies and pumpkin bread. And then I threw Jean in there for a pecan pie and Gloria, apple pie too. So yes, and then everyone's invited over to my house for coffee. So anyway, but in that, even though I was joking, I love the fact that Donna and Joanne were thinking of me. And that actually I went home to tell Kathy, I was actually excited that, hey, you know what, we were thinking of you. And I think that's one of the things during the Lenten season, to be thinking about one another. So if someone's struggling with something or they're giving up something, we should be supporting them. So thank you for supporting me. Any other prayer concerns or praises that you have, Donna?
Yes, a praise. Thankful for God's beauty. If anybody saw the moon last night, it was awesome. It was just gorgeous. And also prayers for my sister, the ability to eat.
Yeah, your sister had throat cancer and is recovering, but with everything going on, not being able to eat, and she doesn't weigh that much to begin with, so we're praying that some healing in there. Any other prayer concerns? Oh, right over here, Orville.
Keep praying for Lord Kreiser, who is kind of down right now. They can't get out of their rooms, and they can't see other people, and they're quarantined more or less.
Yeah.
And he just needs prayer. Thank you.
Yeah, we do need to... Oh, Thelma, right there.
Please keep Mark Kleinfelder in your prayers. He's in the hospital. He has been operated on. He's not doing well. And also for Cheryl. Cheryl was in the hospital but dismissed Monday. But they're struggling right now. And just if you remember them, that's all they ask in prayer. Thank you.
Okay, so Mark and Cheryl. Okay, so Mark and Cheryl will be praying for them. And it's good to see Arvel out. We're glad that you're doing better as well. Keep praying for those that are in nursing homes. Also for my mom, because we have not been able to see my mom for over a year. And so not even my nephew or sister in Georgia have been able to go over. They have just locked down. So very, very a different time for our shut-ins, not being able to be, and especially Lloyd, especially getting over the loss of his wife. So keep them in prayer. Any other concerns or praises? Any, Amy?
These are for me personally. One, my mom is going through some health problems right now, so just prayers for answers and wisdom for that. And two, Paxtang is one of the schools that I teach at, and we lost a student this week. So just prayers for strength for the community and for the family to process it all and move forward.
Okay. Any others from Zoom? Yeah. Okay. Well, Amy, we're praying for your mom. And anytime we lose a child, a student, it's hard. And so we need to keep the friends, the families, teachers, all of them in prayer. Any others? Because I'm going to have a personal time right now. And I may get into trouble, but you know what? I'm going to have to say it. The Equality Act that the House passed. Let me just say, I think every single person on this planet needs to be treated with respect, with dignity. I have no problem with that. I do have a problem when you begin to tell the church what they can and cannot believe. And for that, I have to stand firm. We cannot have a dialogue where you're telling us as a pastor what I can and cannot preach, and then what I have to do. In fact, if this Equality Act passes, I will say this. I will not, as a pastor, I'm letting you know, I will not be doing any more weddings at that point. I understand that I could never turn anyone down if this passes. So I'm letting you know that if this passes, I will not be doing marriages, period, so that I don't get sued. This is how bad, we should be free to believe whatever you want to believe, absolutely, but when you come into a church and tell us what we have to believe, no, absolutely not. So we need to pray for our country. We need to pray that this is not passed, or if it does pass, that there are tremendous, that somehow Supreme Court would rule. Understand, everyone is welcome into this church. Every single one. I don't care what you believe, but when you come into this church, this is what we believe. And we will treat you with grace, we will treat you with love, but don't dare tell me what I can and cannot worship. And do not tell me what passages of Scripture I have to take out of this Bible, because it's not going to happen. So I needed to say that. And this is not, I am not against anyone. Understand, I have friends who I would give my life for who are gay. They're dear friends. We agree that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. And they know me, that I will stand with them, whatever. But we do disagree on one thing, whether that's a sin. But I understand, I love them with all my heart. And they love me. But to say that I have to accept a certain lifestyle, then it opens the door for a lot of other things. So I may get banned on Facebook. I may get banned and arrested. But you know what? I'm going down believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, period. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we are in a time in our belief as a nation. Yes, Lord, you have created everyone equal. Everyone's on the same playing field. Lord, we know that. Lord, we're praying for people that they would come to know you. And Lord, we know that there are people who disagree with us, and that's okay. But Lord, when we believe in something in Scripture and someone tells us it's not true, Lord, we are losing sight of what's really important. Are we looking at human standards or your standards? And Lord, when those who disagree with us, we still love and respect them. Lord, you died for the whole world. That is for everyone, and everyone is welcome to come before you. And we may disagree on what is a sin. Then when we legislate what's a sin, that's when we get into problems. So Lord, forgive us. We are coming to you as a nation. Forgive us. Help us to turn back to you. And Lord, for all of us, we're coming before you asking for forgiveness of our own sins, because we cannot go before someone else with sin in our heart. So Lord, we are not perfect. Help us not to judge. Help us to show truth and love, truth and grace. But Lord, help us to stand firm in that truth and grace and that love. Because Lord, we do not hate anyone. You've told us to love you and to love our neighbor, and our neighbor may be different. So forgive us when we have done wrong. Forgive us when we have strayed. Help us to continue to be loving, caring, welcoming. But Lord, we need to know where our faith where we stand in our faith. And Lord, it is you that we put our faith in first and foremost, not anything else. So Lord, guide us on this day to be loving, to be caring, but to stand firm on your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
The scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 9, starting at verse 2. Some people brought to him a paralyzed man on a mat. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralyzed man, "Be encouraged, my child, your sins are forgiven." But some of the teachers of the religious law said to themselves, "That's blasphemy. Does he think he's God?" Jesus knew what they were thinking, so he asked them, "Why do you have such evil thoughts in your hearts? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven, or stand up and walk? So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And the man jumped up and went home. Fear swept through the crowd as they saw this happen, and they praised God for sending a man with such great authority.
Mother, I am blessed.
I want to make sure that you understand my earlier rant was not against people. It's just being forced to believe something. And let me clarify, my friend who is gay doesn't force me to believe his side, and I don't force my side. We believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. We just come at it differently. So, again, you can disagree with me, but don't force your beliefs on me, just as I don't force my belief, or we shouldn't force our belief on anyone. So I just want to clarify that. So in our scripture today, we are looking at Jesus healing a paralyzed man, and this is the series that we're going to be doing, Lent, the Power of the Gospel, and we are in Matthew, and Judy and I had a conversation this week a little bit. She's like, you know, I like the story in the other Gospels. I think I was doing something, and I said, well, this Lenten season we're in Matthew. We'll get to Mark and John and Luke and the other. We have other, but we're going to stay in Matthew, and you're going to see some of the differences already in Matthew. So Mark and Luke have the story of the men bringing the paralyzed man, but in their gospel, they're opening the hole in the roof. Matthew just doesn't feel like that's really that important. When you're telling a story, if Kathy and I tell the story of our vacation, are we telling the same story? Maybe there's something in, like, she would talk about the walks she did, I would talk about the food. So we have different takes. So Matthew's not wrong, he just didn't feel that that's important. Mark and Luke thought so. But here, it wasn't that important. What is important is that Jesus saw the faith of the men bringing this paralyzed man. Can you think about that? I mean, just think that his friends had enough of faith to say, you know, I need to get to Jesus. Now, the paralyzed man may not have that much faith. Maybe he had a little bit of doubt. Jesus kind of felt that because he says, be encouraged, my John, your sins are forgiven. He was trying to make that connection, that love. You know, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter. When I say that you're my brothers and sisters in Christ, doesn't that make you feel a little bit better? That you're my brother, that you're my sister? So, Jean, as my sister, you should make me a pecan pie. I mean, that's how it should work, right? No? Okay, after church, we'll talk. Not around Kathy, okay? Just saying, we'll talk. It was encouraging that this paralyzed man felt that there was a connection. And he says that your sins are forgiven. Now, the teachers of the law, the scribes, the Pharisees, they're there. They're right. They were upset because Jesus forgave sins. They were right in the sense because they weren't connecting Jesus with God. So they were right to say only God can forgive sins. They were right. They just didn't open their eyes wide enough. Everything that they said was true. It was just, Jesus is God. And parents, you have this ability. I'm going to talk to parents over here, Jess and Dave. When you're talking to your children, you can tell by body language if they're listening, can't you? You could tell by their tone of voice. You can tell by their face, right? And when they're not listening, you kind of go, okay, enough. And I think that's what Jesus, he knew their hearts, but he could also read their faces, their body language. You know, we're we're told that if you're in a conversation with someone and someone immediately does this, that means they're done. You're pretty much done talking, because as soon as you do this, you've closed yourself off. So Jesus already knew what they were thinking of. And he says, why do you have such evil thoughts? Why are you doing this? And so he says, is it easier to say your sins are forgiven or to stand up and walk? And here's the thing, it was pretty easy to just to say your sins are forgiven, because you can't really see that. What you can see is someone getting up and walking. Now understand, we don't know how long this man was paralyzed. Maybe it was from birth. And we all know that if you're paralyzed, muscles lose mass, you don't have strength. So he says, so that I can prove that I have the power to forgive sins, he says to the paralyzed man, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. Now, understand, he's asking him to stand up. This man who is paralyzed, we don't know if it's from the neck down or from the waist down, but the legs were basically useless. And the fear that the people had was because this man, legs, all of a sudden, they could see or strengthen. Maybe the feet were kind of crooked, and suddenly they saw the feet get into the right direction. Because there was no waiting. In an instant, the muscles, the nerves. Maybe he never knew how to walk, and suddenly this man now knows how to walk all at once. Getting up and taking the mat. The mat's, you know, something that he could actually pick up and carry. Wasn't that? I mean, and that's what he did. And everyone was going, wow. In fact, they were afraid, but they also were praising God, because they have never seen this ability in other humans. And so where does that leave us? We have to go back to the story of forgiveness. This is where the power of the gospel is. We're looking at this forgiveness. What was more powerful for the man? Forgiveness of sins or being able to walk? What's more powerful? No, sorry. You do not get the washer and dryer that was left by Rob and Kim. So, it was forgiveness of sins. Because, let me explain why. If you are paralyzed, can you have a relationship with God? So if you're healthy, you have a relationship with God. So what's more important? Yes. So physically, so that to prove everyone, yes, he needed to have the man get up and walk. But when you get into heaven, is it going to matter whether you walk or not? No. It means, is your sins forgiven? Do you have that relationship with God? And the only way to have that is to have forgiveness. You could be paralyzed. You could be not high in status on the in the earth or in your neighborhood or whatever. But we do have this relationship with God that our sins are forgiven. That's the power. That's what we need. And so when I'm looking at this, what that man really needed, it wasn't the ability to walk. He needed his sins forgiven so that he would have that relationship. That he could have that relationship with God. That was the most important. And then being able to walk. We have to get that out of the way. Our relationship with Christ is number one. Everything else is second. But we have, you and I have a problem. We know that Jesus can forgive us. We know that we are made new. That we have that. But sometimes we have a problem forgiving others. Don't we? So there are times where you have to forgive others, and maybe they don't deserve it. But here's the question I need to ask you. Do you deserve your forgiveness? No. None of us are that good. So for those to stretch this out, I forgive those, even though they don't think they need it, I forgive them, those who are writing this Equality Act, because they don't know. So I can forgive them, and I can still debate with them, but I also have to forgive them because they don't know Christ. You know, when someone doesn't know Christ, they probably need more forgiveness. Or do they need me to be angry with them? No. I need to be able to share my beliefs without fear of being thrown in jail. But at the same time, I also need to forgive those. So what happens if I get thrown in jail? I still need to forgive. What did Paul do when he gets thrown into jail? He forgives his jailers. Jesus on a cross forgives the people who put him there. But it does take time. It's just that we don't give up. We are all sinners who've made sometimes terrible mistakes, but in the end, we're just men and women in need of the strength that comes only by the faith of Christ. We need to be able to forgive. And sometimes it takes a lifetime, but we continue to work on it, especially in this season of Lent. Go to the next slide for me. This is something that we'll be talking about in the reflection and response. And John, when I close, leave this one up and start the reflection and response. One of the things that we need to be doing during the season of Lent is connecting with God. We need to figure a way maybe to include God more in our life. And here's another tool in the toolbox. I had asked today in our Sunday school lesson, where's a good place for you to pray? And some said, on the couch doing my devotions. Some said at my desk, in my office. And some said in the bed. Well, let me tell you, I started this this week. And I'm not saying you have to do this, but here's another tool. And it's a prayer of examen. And yes, that's how it's pronounced because I had to look it up and then Kathy had to test me on it. And so the prayer of examen. And you can look this up on Google or whatever, and there's different varieties of this. There you can look it up, but there's always five areas most of the time. The first one is to breathe. Now, this is something that you would do at night. One of the things that I do as a chaplain on a scene of an accident or a fire is I try to get people breathe. Be still. What better thing to do than when we get into the in a prayer time with God before anything, all the command, be still. Know that I am God. Breathe. And the second thing that we do is to give thanks for that day, for any, for all things, not just the good things, but for the bad things. Because here's the thing, that's how we learn. That's how we rely on Jesus. If everything went well, why would we need Jesus? We need Jesus regardless. But in all things, we give thanks. That's what Paul taught us. In all things, give thanks to God, the good and the bad. On three, reflect the day. Now, they say that this can go 15 minutes or even longer, but in the reflection of the day, I read someplace where you can only just do maybe one really incredible thing that you really felt God. That one particular thing you were like, that's where I saw God. That's where God was in my life. And then reflect on, okay, on this one, I didn't feel God, or I did my own thing. And you're reflecting that you could learn the difference between the two. And then the next one is the prayer of forgiveness. Lord, I mean, before I go to bed, I need to ask for forgiveness, to be true about it. And then the last one is hope. Because guess what? Tomorrow, God's already got it planned. God's already going to be there. One of the prayers I did when I was little is the lay me down to sleep, my soul to keep. And it really gave me comfort as a kid that if I did not wake up, God had me. And guess what? God has you. Whether you go today and everything's fine and this week, but here's the good news. Here's the hope that God has you now and forever. God calls you home? Wonderful. If you're here tomorrow, wonderful. Because God has this power, and so we need to be like that. And Judy, as I was praying last night, I did this for the first time. Really just as soon as I had that hope, I've had trouble sleeping for some time. I was out like a light. Because now I had reflected on the whole day, everything, and I gave it all to God, and I was out. Because guess what? I got to be here with all of you. I am ecstatic to be with you today. I'm happy to see all of you. And also knowing that April 5th is coming, I'm getting all these desserts, that's beside the point, but I get to be with you. Aren't you excited to be here?
Yes.
Aren't you excited to see me?
Yes.
Preach it, Mike. Yes. There needs to be an amen. Because there is an excitement to be here with you. I don't dread this. I'm excited when I get to see all of you. We're all different. We're a family. There's joy here. And guess what? Tomorrow, God's going to be there. So it's going to be a great day. Amen?
Amen.
Guess what? On Tuesday, God's going to be there. Amen?
Amen?
You can carry this on. So this is just one of the tools. Maybe there's something that you're praying, but always be reminding that we need to be being honest with God. God, thank you. God, forgive me. And thank you for the hope in Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Lord, what a joy it is to be in your presence with fellow believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. So, Lord, thank you. And, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness of sins. That's what starts us out. That's what makes us the connection to the Father. Because their sins are gone, we have a relationship with God the Father. Through the Son and through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we praise you for all of these things. So, Lord, help us during the season of Lent to respond to you and to the calling of the Holy Spirit, that we are listening, that we have hope in our lives each day, not because of us, but because of you. Help us always to focus on the hope in Christ. Hear our prayer, O Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as we're going in this time of reflection and response, what is something that you're thinking of right now that maybe I've got to focus on? Maybe I got to change something. Maybe there's, I hadn't really thought about the next day. That everything shouldn't be a negative. I was reminded again last week, Jane, thank you for that, because I was complaining about it being 19. And you said, but the sun is out. We're so quick to look at a negative. And thank you, because it changed me. Now I'm trying to look at the positive. Friday, Ron and I had coffee, and I was looking at the negative because we weren't getting waited on time. We had been there at least 2 minutes. And let me tell you, when I need coffee, I need coffee. Amanda, amen. Amen, I'm saying. And I had to wait 3 minutes. 3 minutes. I know, it was a struggle. But then the man came and said, hey, we're busy. I'll be with you, and we were fine. Looking at the positive. So I'm telling you, that's what I had to change. I have to start looking at the positive, because sometimes having depression, I seem to always go to the negative. And I really need to go more on the positive. And it helps my relationship with God when I start doing that, going with the positive. What about you? Is there something that you need to, hey, you know what? Maybe I need to look at this. Donna? Audit, we're going to have you on the mic. So,
looking at the prayer, I need to focus more on number one, to be still. So many times my mind can't be still. It's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it's too busy, and I can't hear God when I'm that busy. I need to learn to breathe and be still in order to hear God.
Yeah, I'm with you, Donna. Having the ADHD in me, my mind scatters completely. And when I shut everything off, when I turn off the phone, the computer, and I'm just there, I can actually focus, and I can hear. And so often in this busy time, we got to be there, and we got to be there, and we got the watch, and we're always in a hurry, and God just saying, be still. And what better time to be still than at night when we're saying, okay, God, here's all the stuff I've got. And you have me now. Now I can sleep. Because if I wake up in the morning, wonderful, you're there, and if you call me home, you're going to be there. Thank you. Anyone else on things that you've got to work on? You all have something to work on. Amen? Because don't be thinking, oh, I don't want to share. Well, and that's okay. You don't have to share. But you all have something to work on. Because here's the thing. If I've got to work on something, you've got to work on something. Amen? Okay, you didn't have to really say amen. I was just wondering, because now obviously, Mike, I'm going to question, what do I have to work on now?
Where do I start?
I did ask for that. So for those on Zoom, Mike said, where do I start? Okay. Keeping me humble. That's probably the first thing I need to work on, being humble. And thank you, Mike. Also working on my jokes, too. So, Mike, I did say last week I missed you.
Not anymore.
So next week, I'd like to miss you again. No. Thank you. But that's we all have something we have to work on. And praise God that we can work on it together. I mean, the thing with Mike, the honesty, the love, to keep me humble, but we can laugh about that. We can do that together. You are not alone. And that's where the hope comes in, the last one. That's where the hope is. We are not alone. Praise be to God. Amen? Amen. Our next hymn, we're going to stand. What are we singing for our last hymn?
At Calvary.
At Calvary. What a good way to end our... So would you please stand as we sing At Calvary. John, leave that up for just a moment. That was a perfect, Judy and Gloria, that was a perfect song. That stanza, mercy there was great and grace was free, pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul formed liberty at Calvary. We have been forgiven of our sins, and that gives us hope in Christ. Amen. So go out into the world as forgiven sinners to live a life of hope and love. Amen? Amen. Amen.